Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our first episode of Fresh Air with Dana Michelle and Big Mac. Speak on it. Today's topic will be the male and female relationships and how it has changed. Big Mac, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. So the male and female relationship, what do we find in today's relationship between a man and a woman? How would you describe that, Big Mac?
I mean, it's funny you said that. This morning I was looking at the news, and they were saying that, you know, kids are dependent on their parents longer than normal, and people are getting married later and having children later. So, you know, the generations have changed with that. I mean, you know, now it's not common for people to get married for the first time at 36, 37, 38 and have their first child. I mean, because I think this generation now is more career-driven, goal-oriented. You know, people is like, hey, I want to get my degree. I want to get my master's. I want to do all this before I settle down. And then by the time you accomplish all this, then you got to meet somebody. You got to court. Then you got to date. And that stuff takes a while. So,
right. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I mean, I got married at 35 and had my first kid at 37. at 35 was the first time for me to get married.
And so do you believe that at 35 is when you pretty much really know yourself and able to make better decisions when it comes to another person and seeing about another person or taking care of another person? Do you think it's at that point to where that maturity level is reached?
I really think you could do it earlier than 35 because the relationship I was in was before my wife, she was a doctor. And well, she's a doctor now. Then, you know, she was going through medical school and her residency. And personally, she felt, hey, I don't have time for all this. And here she is now, 38 years old, years later, 10 years later, 38 years old, and she's still not married, still doesn't have any kids. So, you know, I think people know themselves, but it's how high is marriage and kids on your priority list? I think let's you know, I think that's a better question to ask.
Okay, well, I can understand that. And with her pursuing her medical career, do you think had she not pursued that medical career, or, well, let me back up a little bit. So with her pursuing a medical career, do you think it's difficult now for her to find someone pretty much on what she would consider her level? Because you find nowadays that women are in the workforce and they're going to school to get degrees, whereas most men don't find that as important. Some men don't find that as important. So do you think it's difficult for her to probably find someone that she would deem on her level?
I don't think it would be difficult for her because, I mean, the person that she was, you know, before we split up, you know, that type of stuff did not bother her. And, you know, a guy did not have to be on a certain level for her to marry. I just think that, you know, like when you meet people now, or even if you're, you know, going out on a date, you want to meet somebody who has your similar interests. You know, I know a lot of people, men and women, both believe that conversation is very important. So, you know, if a person can converse with you on an intellectual level and, you know, have fun with you, I think that's important. But, you know, you got to go out there and find that.
Do you find that most men would be intimidated? Because I've heard some women say that men are intimidated by my success. Do you find that most men are intimidated, or is that just something that they're using as a wall or something to not get into relationships?
I think it's an excuse because, you know, if you come to a real man, a man is going to be a man, you know, regardless. Like, you know, I mean, even with my wife now, I married a woman that's in corporate America. You know, I'm an educator. She works in corporate America. So, of course, you know, she brings home more money. But I'm still the man. I still pay the mortgage. I still take care of the house because, you know, I'm going to pay the cost to be the mom. I'm still going to take control of things because that's just who I am as a man. And I don't use no, oh, I'm intimidated by your money. I'm intimidated by this. I'm intimidated by that. And you know, my mentality is whatever's coming in the house is ours anyways.
Right.
You know?
Right. You're right.
I'm paying the mortgage. I'm paying the utilities. I'm paying the, you know, the maintenance for the vehicle, the lawn maintenance, the yard maintenance. You know, I'm taking care of the home. You know, okay, but still, you're going to pay a bill or something like that. You might pay a cable bill or, you know, you may pay a bill here and there, but whatever comes in this house is ours. But, you know, now I do feel as a man, you are supposed to take care of the home. That is your job as a man, regardless of how much money you made or how much money she makes. But, you know, you also get the house as a man on your income level, what you can afford. I just say, God forbid, you know, your wife says, you know what, I don't want to work. I want to stay home and take care of the kids. I want to be a stay-at-home wife. Then you got to be like, okay, just in case my income is taking care of this whole house, I need to get a house that I can comfortably live in on my income and take care of everything and everyone in this house. You know, the problem is a lot of men were not raised by men. So if they are intimidated by a woman that makes more money, it's because they didn't have a man to just show them how to be a man.
But then I think that's that has something to do with them within themselves, with the being intimidated by a quote-unquote doctor or, you know, some a businesswoman in the Fortune 500 company. And a lot of that has to do with communication. And like you said, you and your wife are in two different fields, but I'm pretty sure that you guys communicate on as far as being a couple. You guys communicate and talk about everything. And so that opens the door to a lot of success in marriages where people come from different backgrounds and they're in different fields as far as their career goes. So let's switch gears for a moment. And I want to ask a question while we're speaking on relationships. Do you think chivalry is dead?
It could be, but it's dead on both sides as well, you know, and it just goes back to people not being just the way people are raised. I remember I was I was coming into work one morning. And from the parking lot to the school was a nice little walk. So I was walking next to a teacher. You know, we just had a conversation like, hey, good morning, how you doing? You know, I had to go in the building. So I tried to get around her, and I tried to walk on the edge of the sidewalk. And she was like, what are you trying to do? I said, I'm just going around on the other end of the sidewalk. So we're walking in the building. I said, a woman is never supposed to walk on the edge of the sidewalk when she's next to a man. And she was like, really? And I said, yeah. So the thing is, a lot of these women, they don't know what to expect.
Because
you know,
they've never seen it displayed.
Exactly. So, you know, like if chivalry is dead, yeah, it's dead on both sides. You know, you'll have women. I can hold my own door. I don't need you to hold my door for me, you know, so. You
okay.
Have stuff like
so
that.
Should that? So would it? Because I was speaking to a gentleman, and he said he's almost afraid to. Because baby to me is a term of endearment, and he, you know, he said sweetheart and baby, but this lady was offended by what he said, and so it's almost like he's afraid to hold the door because just like you said, they don't want you to hold the door for them. But I think it's an individual basis because I want you to open the car door for me. I want you to open the door for me, and I want you to be that. Is it wrong for you to? Is it wrong for me to want to continue to receive that?
Mm-mm.
Because I have so many women my age that are like, I don't want, just like you say, I don't need a man to hold the door for me. I know, but I want him to do that. I want him to hold the door. I want him to open the door. I want him to be the man, if that makes sense, to be the man.
I mean, you know, like I said, it's dead. It's even like, you know, being in education, which is a female-dominated profession. And, you know, if you guys are staying late at night at work and it's to go and everybody's leaving at the same time, you know, even simple things of being a gentleman and say, okay, let me walk you to your car. You know, and some women may be like, well, you know, are you trying to sleep with me? What are your intentions? It could be purely honest and be like, hey, this is just how I was raised. I walk you to your car. You get in your car. You go home. It's late. It's dark. Let's keep it moving. You know, but, you know, it's just, I mean, when I was in college playing football, you know, the coach during the off season signed us up for an etiquette seminar, the football team. And, you know, those type of things need to be done again. You know, I mean, I mean, we can go on and on. It's just how are you raised, you know? Who is raising you? Who is teaching you things?
And is it because I would expect those things. If I'm at work late with a guy, that's the things that I would expect. And so if he doesn't do it, then what does that say about him? Should I not respect him as a man? Or
Well, the thing is, and see, that's the issue. He probably was not taught. So if he wasn't taught, then how does he know? I have a friend. She was proposed to by her boyfriend. She accepted. Her grandfather lived in another state and said, how can you get engaged? And I've never met this young man, and I've never talked to this young man. And you know, the grandfather, I guess he's well respected by the family. He was like, no wedding is going to take place until I meet this young man. And within a couple of days, he booked a flight and flew from Maryland to Atlanta to meet the young man. And he had to correct the young man and said, sir, she has a father and she has a grandfather. And you ask no one's hand in marriage. And, you know, so when she's talking to me, she was like, yeah, maybe he messed up. I said, how did he mess up? Ask him what his upbringing was. Ask him, was he taught that? You know, some men was not raised and taught to be like, hey.
But she was raised in that. So do you think it was a conversation that she was supposed to have with him as far as letting him know to ask her?
She probably should have said, maybe you need to ask my dad and my granddad for my hand in marriage. Now, also in his defense, she's 35, he's 41. I guess he feels that 41 and 35, whose permission do I need to ask to marry?
Right.
I'm not making excuses or giving him a pass, but like I said, things have changed. You know, my mom always used to tell me when I was like 30 years old and still not married, my mom always used to tell me when I was your age, I had all four of my kids and I was working and stuff like that. But times have changed. Generations change.
And priorities are a little bit different. And when you say generation, let's compare the following relationships with your grandparents, your relationship with your parents and yours with your, well, we've already spoken about you and your wife, but have you had the opportunity to view your grandparents and their relationship?
Well, growing up, I only had one grandparent and that was my mom's mom. So, you know, that was the only person I was around. So, you know, my grandfather passed before I was born. So, I didn't see a grandparent relationship, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't see it. You know, my parents didn't get married till I was 23 years old. And maybe that's why I waited so long for me to get married, because I was like, hell, my parents didn't get married till I was 23. So, you know, I mean, you know, when my mom was like, oh, I was married, I mean, she wasn't really married. It was back when common law was recognized. You know, but when common law wasn't recognized, and they were like, hey, we need to go ahead and go to the Justice of the Peace and make this legal. So for me, I didn't have really, I did not see a traditional marriage growing up.
And that's interesting that you would say that you didn't see it modeled for you, and the time that your parents did get married, that possibly played a deal in when you decided to get married, which is at 35. And so with our generation, and just like the young man and the young lady that you discussed, him not asking her dad or her grandfather's hand in marriage, if it isn't modeled for us, is it safe to say that because we don't see it displayed, that we're not given an example to follow?
Mm-hmm.
So how do we change that part of it? And I know we can only do what we can do in our household. And once our children are grown and they decide to make decisions on their own, they're still going to do what they want to do or what they deem right for their generation. But at least we can kind of put the foundation there for them.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and again, I'm going to switch gears. What, and I don't know if this is, if this can be answered, but what do you think the value of a monogamous relationship, is there any value in that anymore? Because what I'm seeing lately is that no one values being with just one person. As not our generation, but the younger generation, they date in groups. They just don't value monogamous relationships. And even the songs that are playing on the radio, I can't think of the name of the girl that sings the song, and it's like, my man is your man and her man. So is there not value placed on monogamous relationships anymore?
I think value is always placed on monogamous relationships. You know, I think a lot of people, both men and women, value monogamy. You know, like a lot of that stuff that you see in the songs and see on television, you just got to take that stuff with a grain of salt. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I know plenty of people, you know, myself included, you're not going to risk embarrassing yourself, embarrassing your family, and potentially losing your family. You're not going to risk that. Some people are mature enough, and maybe, you know, getting married at 35 helped me see that. Maybe I was like, you know what, let me get all my plan out the way while I'm young and go and working and doing what I want to do. And then, you know, when I settle down, I settle down. And that's it, you know?
And so in settling down, is it important to find true love or happiness in a relationship?
you know, one cannot go without the other. So if you find true love, you find happiness. And if you're happy, then you found your true love. So...
Okay. And how would you define true love?
Oh, man. I guess just wanting to be with
for
that
you,
person.
For you.
I guess, you know, you're always thinking about that person. Whenever you see that person, you still get butterflies in your stomach. I mean, you're just happy with that person.
Okay. And when I think about love, it's like it's unselfish. And when you love someone, you always want to see, you always want the best for them. You always want to look out for them. So if it's two people that are in love and you're looking out for them and they're looking out for you and there's no selfishness, then the both of you are being taken care of. And so that right there, to me, is true love. Is there
mm-hmm.
anything else you would like to discuss? Because I've covered all of my I've covered the topics that I was curious about. Is there anything else as far as relationship goes that you would like
to? No, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, I thank you, Big Mac.
Oh, not a problem.
It's been a pleasure.
Not a problem. pleasure's all mine.
It's been a pleasure. And so we're going to have cover another interesting topic on next week. So I hope you're available to join me on our next topic for next week.
Oh, I'll be here.
Thank you. And thank you guys for tuning in. This is Dana Michelle and Big Mac. Be good to each other. Good night.